Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckles Show, DK Show 1 on Twitter. And we are presented by 319 Wine and Cheese, the best place in the universe to come for your wining and dining experience. Come and be part of the movement of eating good and looking good at the same time. Goddamn, we do it at the same time. Also, American Fighting System, the movement has started. We're being American again. We're not trying to tell everyone we're training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or tell everyone we're training in Muay Thai. No, this is pure American boxing mixed with wrestling, pure American pastimes. And we are trying to recruit all sorts of fighters to let America take back over the mixed martial arts and kickboxing and boxing scene. American Fighting System, me, Chael Sonnen, Pat Miletich, all the homies that represent America, look out for it coming soon. And with me tonight, a night that we will be talking not only NFL, not only college football, but also MMA and the return of another legend, but on a legend that's going to be on Fight Pass? Does this mean the doom of the UFC and Dana White's kind of hands? Is Dana White, does this show that the UFC is going away from their pay-per-view model and Dana White and the boys are going to be riding out into the sunset for the UFC, please selling out to Fox? I'm going to get into all that, but now I got my co-host with the most, the man, the myth, the legend, the man to come on and talk with me tonight is the one and only, the man that told Brock Lesnar he should try to fight again after that sickness, the man who told Chael Sonnen to get real personal with Anderson Silva and to go up for that takedown in the fifth round. This was the man who told him, the man who gave Werdum a milkshake and told him one day he would be UFC champion. True story. The man who told King Mo, you should go fight in Rhythm this weekend. That's why he's there. The man who is two-time Quidditch champion. Yeah, he took out a couple of those golden stitches. The man who's taken over Rochester again. It is the man with his middle fingers up. Nate Diaz, we don't give a fuck. It is Andrew Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, what it do? Back again. Very excited. It's your boy, Percy Love, broadcasting from a pretty chilly Rochester, New York, Ryan. It's been a little funny this year. It's been warm. It was 68 degrees on Christmas Eve and sunny, the warmest Christmas Eve ever in the history of history, in the history of weather. But today, it all changed.
Florida weather.
Today, it all changed, my friend. It is currently raining ice, almost like a hail, but I think it's too small. It looks like rain.
Are we talking Walter White ice here?
It looks like Walter White is dropping something from the sky. We got 4 inches of snow. It's 20 degrees. It's cold in Buffalo. But, Ryan, real quick, I got to get your comments on this. It was kind of hilarious. So I saw that an Alabama quarterback has not won an NFL game, I believe, since 1988.
Oh,
so now why does this come into play? As we all know, as J.J. Watt dubbed him, which I think is the best nickname ever, the Red Ryder BB gun, Andy Dalton, he broke his wrist. Cue up A.J. McCarron. So A.J. McCarron started last week and they lost.
Playing tonight, right?
And in the game, after the game, A.J. McCarron had the nerve to compare
himself. Did they
win
tonight?
No, they lost.
No, of course.
So, yeah.
Wait, is Andy Dalton out for
Andy Dalton,
the playoffs?
He's supposed to be back in the playoffs, but who knows?
Gotta hope the Jets stay sane.
But A.J. McCarron, this was the funny part. After the game, he compared himself to Tom Brady. He was like, Tom Brady did it and started here. Y'all about to see me. Not only did they lose the game in overtime, they were down 20-17, and AJ McCarron just dropped the snap and then let DeMarcus walk.
Why is AJ McCarron their backup? Why?
Right. They have problems. But not only did he just drop the snap, then he just let DeMarcus Walker take it from him and lost the game. So the streak continues with Alabama quarterbacks. And AJ McCarron, buddy, you're not Tom Brady. He had the nerve to compare himself to Brady.
I got to say, man, the Alabama quarterbacks, you have to look at it right now. Like, the guys who are going to be in the league are going to be Sabanites. And really, Nick Saban, the way he coaches this football team, none of those quarterbacks are good. I don't care how many games they won. Jacob Coker is complete trash. And we're going to talk college football later, but that's the reason I don't think Alabama can win. And when it comes into a playoff scenario, they really need to start getting better quarterbacks, guys that can take over games. Because it's no longer a one-and-done for Alabama where they can show up with that Saban ball and, you know, win that one big game. They got to go through two juggernauts to win the national title. But damn, AJ McCarron, I hope you are facing my New York Jets secondary in the playoffs, because you are a complete joke, buddy. But comparing himself to Tom Brady, Andrew, that's eating some crow. Now, we're going to talk MMA, but I got to get this in here real quick now that you brought up Cincinnati. I think you, my friend, well, first up, I got to give myself a shout out. Kansas City, I said at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I said Kansas City was going to win that division. I don't know if they're going to win the division, but I said that team's going to be a juggernaut into the playoffs. And hey, they at least made it into the playoffs. But I also got to say, Andrew Meredith, you got to eat some crow, buddy, because did you think my New York Jets were a joke, I know you did in the beginning of the season, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, a.k.a. Fitzmagic, at quarterback.
Yeah, I like that.
But the New York Jets now not only have a quarterback who's not a fucking idiot, but they have Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, a decent running game, good O-line, more stuff to build on offense in the upcoming years. But think of that defensive line with the secondary they have. And I got to say, my boy Gil Chargers absolutely balling out now in the New York Jets. Screener, all of our cornerbacks/safeties. Then Revis, Cromartie, that secondary with that defensive line. We beat the Patriots this weekend. Oh, I love it. Beating the Patriots in overtime. The Patriots trying to outsmart themselves. And it's coming down the Jets. All they have to do is beat that pesky Rex Ryan Buffalo team. I could already smell the loss coming. This is this Rex Ryan Super Bowl. Of course, for the New York Jets, with all the big victories they've had, it's going to come down to fucking Rex Ryan beating him. But, Andrew, you got to eat some crow, buddy, because I know you did not believe in the New York Jets hype. What do you think about
the
Jets turnaround?
First of all, with the way the Jets are playing, I wouldn't be shocked. Well, now again, the AFC, as you know, I do have the Cardinals winning. The Cardinals, I would not. Aaron Rodgers is still sore.
Oh my god,
he got killed. But I would not be surprised with the way the Jets are playing. This team could make a Super Bowl run, Ryan. You know,
they definitely can win in the first round.
With the NFL, here's one thing I'll say. I guess, you know, with the talent on the rosters these days, you know, it's not a far-fetch from, you know, any team making the playoffs to have a chance to make some noise with the talent levels on the roster. But that team is playing lights out. Fitzmagic has been freaking phenomenal.
29 touchdowns, I think, this year.
Brandon Marshall has had rejuvenation.
Back.
Him. And then that opens up Eric Decker. Great offensive line. Look out. All I have to say is, damn Jets, tricking us. And I don't know, dumbass Bills, hiring dumbass Rex Ryan. Bills, one of the most talented rosters in the NFL, but yet they're 7-8. This is a good year for them. I will hit you with a little insider info right now. up in western upstate New York, they all hate Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan came out today and said his mouth always gets him in trouble. He should have never came out and said we're going to make the playoffs. And
he was offered
Rex
the
Ryan,
Atlanta job too. And you got to think, you got to think with that juggernaut. I mean, you got to say, you know, Atlanta has a pretty damn good offense. Maybe he could have done something with that defense, but who knows? I mean, Rex Ryan, one thing I feel bad about is the rug underneath them and completely got rid of our whole team. And then the year they fire him, they bring back a perfect Rex Ryan team with his favorite player, Revis and Cromartie, both of them, back at cornerback, a D-line and secondary to where he can run his blitz packages that he loves so much, and pretty good running backs that can play smash-mouth football. But the Jets shown that basically without Rex Ryan, look how much a quarterback has excelled in New York. And it hasn't really happened except those few years of Mark Sanchez, and he still didn't do much. He relied on the run game. Rex Ryan can never find a quarterback, and look what Fitzmagic has done basically under Todd Bowles. And Todd Bowles has remained quiet. He's not the circus that Rex Ryan is, and yet he brings that Arizona Cardinal hard-hitting defense to the line. And for Cameron here in Tallahassee, Jeff Cameron, who in the beginning of the year made fun of the Jets' QB situation. It's a commercial that never stopped playing. And then said, you know, you got to have a laugh track, like an episode on Seinfeld, thinking that you're going to have Fitzgerald and Gailey as our offensive coordinator. He said, you know, that should be a laugh track. It should be a sitcom. Now I got to look back and say, Jeff, you were completely wrong, buddy, because I love the Gailey offensive coordinator move, and bringing in Fitzmagic, who had magic with Gailey in the past, you got to say, that was a great move. But Andrew, looking at Rex Ryan and the Bills, first off, I got to say, Percy Harvin should just quit the NFL, because I no longer look at receiving corps and say, oh, Percy Harvin and Sammy Watkins. No, because Percy Harvin never plays a full season, so I can't count him in on their offensive firepower. But the signing of LeSean McCoy, maybe it was injuries, I'm not sure. I really think the Bills would have fit better with DeMarco Murray. But that whole offense in general, I don't know if Rex Ryan thought Tyrod Taylor could really get it done. What the Bills are going to do in the future, like at quarterback, what do you think the Bills' move is here? Do you try to put a package together for her that might be available to trade Philip Rivers or Drew Brees? Is that the only way out? Does Rex Ryan go one and done in Buffalo? As a guy who's close to the situation, what do you think the downfall was, and do you think it's entirely Rex Ryan's fault?
I don't think it's entirely Rex Ryan's fault. One of the biggest downfalls, I will say, for the Bills this year has been they have been injured all year long. First downfall, I hate to say it, but it's true. EJ Manuel is hot garbage. That was just a horrible pick to number 16 overall. But, you know, what their really biggest problem has been, which was surprising the most, was the defense. And that's supposed to be Rex Ryan's big point. Big sell, you know, Rex Ryan, he's a defensive guy. He had great success in the Jets, and the defense has been terrible this year.
And the Ravens,
yeah, moving forward, it looks like, you know, the Bills, first of all, got to get another wide receiver. Sammy Watkins, they finally, the offensive coordinator was like, hey, maybe we should throw him the ball deep, you know.
Yeah.
And what has Sammy Watkins done is the last four or five games, he's completely gone apeshit, you know, after he had to call and yell about not getting him more targets. Well, hey, maybe we should throw that guy the ball downfield, only the fourth pick in the draft that we traded a first-round pick for. So, I mean, the Bills' problem, though, number one, they got to get rid of Mario Edwards, Mario Williams. He had a down year this year, but this guy he's not a good fit for Rex Ryan's defense and his front. And the guy is due $20 million next year. I'm a firm believer of the only player on your team that should be making $20 million a year is a quarterback.
Either Revis or your quarterback.
Or Adrian Peterson or something.
Yeah.
That is just, you got to get rid of Mario, got to get another wide receiver, and hope to stay healthy. Tyrod is a big upgrade, but I think that's mainly because Bills fans, myself included, got used to seeing what happened, you know, used to this horrible quarterback play. Tyrod is pretty good, but however, in today's NFL, you need a quarterback that can move the ball downfield, get the ball in
tight
windows.
Tyrod is garbage, man. Garbage.
He's been decent this year. He's been decent.
He had a good beginning of the year, but
he can't
carry that team.
We need a better quarterback. And honestly, one player I'd love the Bills to target in this draft is Connor Cook from Michigan State. We see the success that Kirk Cousins is having right now. Captain Kirk completely just demolishing teams for the Redskins. God, who would have thought the Redskins were going to be in the fucking playoffs and dominating?
Would you take a flyer on RG3 if he's available, which he will be?
I would definitely take it. It's RG3. I'd take a flyer on him.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a Rex Ryan move, too. You can't go through that QB carousel that Rex went through. You with Michael Vick and this and that. They really just got to find one guy and concentrate on him, and it can't be Tyrod Taylor because – he's not going to be – I mean, don't get me wrong. Him and Sammy have had a good connection and all that, but he's not going to lead you to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? I don't think – like, you know, Fitzmagic is even better than him. You know, I'm just saying Tyrod I don't think is that guy. I think Buffalo really
struck
out with
either. I
don't think
he has the NFL arm to be the answer. Tyrod can be a little wildcat quarterback.
Maybe McCoy was downfall too, you know.
LeSean actually had a pretty good year. He has just been injured all year. But Ryan, everyone is, they don't know what the hell's going on with the Bills. You start the season off.
Too much talent.
One of the most penalized teams, too. Like, in Rex Ryan, and what does that reflect on? Coaching, but there's Rex Ryan. Oh, I like the penalties. It shows they got heart. Well, if
here's
you're
something to throw
five
out.
Personal fouls a game.
Three guys, I think, that would be tremendous college football coaches that might need to leave the NFL. Number one, Tom Coughlin with his strict rules and everything and his Super Bowl experience. I think, you know, he definitely could get another NFL job if the Giants got rid of him. But I think he could be a tremendous college football coach. Rex Ryan is another one, Andrew, that you really look at and you say, man, that guy really belongs in college. Just the way
him recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, it would be – I mean, him at LSU right now with their defense, recruiting at LSU, I mean, just think about how unstoppable that would be. And the third guy, honestly, I just completely blanked out on. I had him in my brain.
Chip Kelly?
Chip Kelly from the Eagles. You got to think. First off, USC really screwed up. Imagine Southern Cal going out and getting Chip Kelly as their head coach. How big that would have been, how big of a hire, sticking it to Oregon and putting that Chip Kelly system at Southern Cal with all those athletes. And then Chip Kelly at a team like LSU, putting that offense in, once they get a quarterback in, you got to think that would be pretty scary. Those are three guys I think definitely should be out of the NFL this year. Maybe Rex should get another year. I think Tom Coughlin needs to go. And I definitely think that Chip Kelly, that Eagles experience, horrible. What happened to the Eagles, man? Do you think they were the biggest letdown this year?
Oh, that is tough. They're up
there. You know,
the
Cowboys got hurt.
You got to put the Ravens up there, even though yet they've had the Steelers number.
Hey, and I like their trade. They went out and got my guy, Ryan Mallett, who put up big numbers. And you got to say, you know, that might be a guy that some teams need to look at as a guy that you could pick up. Also, Chase Daniels, another career backup who can absolutely ball out when if he gets a starting position.
Yes, very true, Chase Daniels and Ryan Mallett. Another quarterback who I was thinking about, you know, has looked great. You know, as of late, late guy, well, I just would say Brock Osweiler for Denver. It's looking like they should move with Osweiler to be the QB. We all know Manning can't play anymore. And, of course, there are the reports he took steroids.
And
for his
you
neck.
Know John Elway leaked that report. You know it. Right when there's, like, should we put Peyton back in? All of a sudden it's Peyton's on PEDs. You know John Elway is such a little bastard when it comes to the media. What he did to Tebow, he pretty much ruined his career. And then basically he went out and got Peyton in a little grimy trade. And then now when he wants to get rid of Peyton, you know John Elway dug that up and he called in anonymously to ESPN and said, hey, Peyton Manning's on PEDs. I mean, John Elway, biggest scumbag. Come on.
Right.
This guy's a huge
scumbag. Funniest thing about that, real quick, on a little side story, I had to delete the Facebook post, but was
total
from this reporter name.
Total fake report.
It was from a guy named Al Jazeera, and I first read
it. Oh, I thought it was the Al Jazeera Network.
I thought it was Al Jazeera the Network. I thought it was Algeria, so I posted on Facebook, Peyton Manning gets steroids from Algeria. That's the best news headline I've ever seen. And then I read it again and was like, oh, crap, that's not Algeria, the country or whatever territory the reporter.
I thought it was that Arabic news network, the Al Jazeera, the one that always has terrorists and stuff on there. I was like, why are they quoting Al Jazeera? Like, that's so weird. But I heard it's
America.
I heard it's a fake. I don't think Peyton Manning took PEDs. And, hey, that could be a guy, you know, Rex Ryan did the whole Brett Favre thing. I think Rex was there when they did that New York Jets. Hey, Peyton Manning, one-year flyer for the Buffalo Bills with that receiving core. Just saying.
I'd love to see old Phillip Rivers come to upstate New York.
I mean, you got to think Phillip's going to be on that trading block. And I heard beginning of the year the Jets were trying to trade for Breeze and also Buffalo was trying to trade for Breeze. And we all know he's not happy with New Orleans because of, you know, they gutted his roster. That could be a guy that is available. But Phillip Rivers is definitely available. You got to think he could definitely get Buffalo moving. It's just such a hard division in the AFC East. It's just a gauntlet now.
Oh, biggest disappointment of the year. Bills are up there. They're in the top five, but my number one has to be the Miami Dolphins. My number one is the
Chargers.
The Indianapolis Colts. Ryan, this year, I didn't want to ask you up to finish up our NFL talk, but, you know, this year, Pro Football Talk, all I kept hearing all year was how Andrew Luck is the best quarterback in the league. The best quarterbacks are Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers.
Best quarterback is
And Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill was number one pro football focus. So that's what I was going to say to you, Ryan. You know, we had Cam Newton, the Bradys just sitting back, and what a difference this season has made. Cam Newton is without it. He might be the best. Not only is he the best player, but
look at what Cam Newton has had around him. I know it's – first off, I got to give credit to their coach. He's completely running the
Rivera.
Auburn system. Most coaches would not run kind of a college football system. They wouldn't risk running Cam Newton so much. But Cam is like another running back there. Every time there's short yardage, he gets the first down. He makes Superman plays. I mean, his best receiver, which – you might have to eat crow on this too, buddy. You said Ted Ginn would never be a good receiver. He has been this year, but Cam Newton made him a good receiver. That's his best receiver. I know that his best receiver is hurt, but the team around him, he made Greg Olsen into basically one of the best tight ends in the league. I'm sorry, but looking at the next 5 years, it's not Andrew Luck's league. This is Cam Newton's league. This guy, I mean, he's absolutely fantastic in my opinion, and I really think it's going to come down to Andrew, Cardinals and the Panthers, and then the AFC is really going to be whoever gets hot. It could be Kansas City. It could be the Jets. You know, the Patriots are always there.
New England, yeah.
Yeah, the Patriots are always there. It could be the Broncos. They're one of the most stacked teams. They just need consistency at quarterback, but if you look at that roster.
Or the Bengals. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Definitely not the Bengals. But the AFC, you really look at it, it's a question mark. It's probably going to come down to the Patriots. But I really hope we don't get a Patriots Super Bowl. And finishing off the NFL, crazy year. Washington making the playoffs. Kansas City coming out. it's just such a turnaround. You see, like, teams like San Francisco, how fast you can fall in this league. Even Seattle's fallen a little bit.
But I know they lost, but, before that, they had been on an absolute tear. Are we sleeping on Seattle? That is a team who's been there before. They have one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league.
I think they can definitely go far. I really do. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I'm not trying to cut you off.
Well, no, that was my question. Are we forgetting about Seattle? Who would you like if Seattle and Carolina met in round one of the playoffs or week two?
Round two.
Carolina's going to have a bye. No, I think Arizona would beat Seattle. I think they'd manhandle them. Carson Palmer is finally healthy, and good God, Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, and that alien rookie running back David Johnson, who runs like a thoroughbred horse. He looks like Adrian Peterson.
The Panthers
have
to get
Panthers.
I don't right now, because as long as the Panthers get healthy at running back. Because I saw, Fozzie Whitaker. What a cool name for their backup running back. He got hurt. I'm sorry, Fozzie Whitaker, that's somebody that's going to be famous at some point in their life. Like, he sounds like a teddy bear in a kid's book trying to save a town, like Teddy Bridgewater, trying to save a town from drowning. He sounds like a stuffed bear, but it's Fozzie Whitaker. They need to get Stewart back. But I just think Cam Newton's on too much of a mission this year, and that defense is too good. I know that quarterback got exposed by Julio Jones, but I just don't see the Seahawks having enough offensive firepower to really beat them. I think it's going to come down to the Cardinals versus Carolina if the Packers don't wake up. Are the Packers officially out of it?
The Packers are in the playoffs, Ryan, but that team, as you know in fantasy football, Aaron Rodgers killed me down the stretch. I will never have Aaron Rodgers be my quarterback again in fantasy football after how he killed me in both of my leagues. But then losing Jordy Nelson, they knew it was going to be an uphill battle. Then they had some injuries on the offensive line. They have a bunch of old-ass wide receivers running around. They have some fat tight end.
Bad offensive
looks like
line.
He's got a set. Their tight end is like a fat Clay. He looks like a really fat Clay Matthews. He's even kind of got the long blonde hair too. That team, it's got
to
be play calling. They run the worst plays.
But what happened
they
to
get
their,
in the red
they
zone.
They were so stacked. It just seems like it's now just Aaron Rodgers and a bunch of nobodies.
It's Aaron Rodgers trying to run around and somehow find the hit Randall Cobb. Every play.
He got absolutely mauled
by
Arizona. God, he got mauled.
You know it's bad when there's a point, Ryan, we both played offensive line. Now, us O-linemen, we have a lot of, we're very prideful.
Oh, yeah.
We like to keep our quarterback clean. How would you feel if there was ever a point in a game when you were going to take your starting quarterback out because the offensive line could not protect them?
I mean, that I would feel pretty horrific. That just shows right there that you cannot win in the NFL without an offensive line, and I would feel pretty bad. I got to say, Green Bay is not going anywhere with what I've seen from them. They really need to just take a year to adjust and really get some free agents in there to rebuild that offense. Andrew, that's enough of our NFL talk. We got to get on some MMA. MMA, I've had MMA tunnel vision lately, Andrew, and also boxing, but not only do we need to talk more end of the year, but we got to talk some huge news that broke, and also this news kind of showed me that could be the writing on the wall for Dana White's UFC, because it's kind of strange to me, Andrew. All right, so Anderson Silva is officially coming back. We got to say a good hoorah for that. Got to love seeing Anderson back. He's fighting Michael Bisping, a fight that I've always wanted to see because, I'm sorry, but Anderson Silva's style was made to beat up Michael Bisping. It was made, and if Bisping somehow beats him, it's in London, too. This was a title fight I've always wanted to see when Anderson had the belt. It's in London. I mean, Bisping should get mauled, but if Michael Bisping somehow beats Anderson Silva, I'll be so sad. But we're going to talk Anderson's comeback. But other than that, I got to bring this up first. The UFC officially made it a Fight Pass event.
What?
You have to have Fight Pass to see
what?
This event. Yes, Anderson Silva is on Fight Pass.
What?
Let me give you the. Let me lay out the rest of it, though. All right, so we know that Dana White, there's a rumor that Fox is buying the UFC. And we know that Dana White's UFC pay-per-views matter the most. So far, getting a lot of background on your side. So far, in 2016, what has been announced is two epic events on Fox and Fox Sports, then one pay-per-view in Robbie Lawler versus Carlos Condit, decent main event, a really good main event, bad card. And then the second is UFC 197 or 96, I believe, Cain Velasquez versus Fabricio Werdum 2. And it's a decent card, not stacked at all. Then you have a bunch of cards that need to be filled, UFC 198 through 200. And you have Anderson Silva, probably your third biggest draw, coming back. And you don't put him on a pay-per-view. You put him on Fight Pass to try to get that subscription up. And your two biggest events coming into the year are on Fox and Fox Sports. All I'm saying is, with the UFC last year, I did not see Dana White, which he always did. First off, he looked like he was out of it after the Conor McGregor fight. Like, I've never seen a guy look like he cared less. Secondly, look at the UFC's weight classes. Dana White and the Fertittas did not try to sign people from Bellator or World Series of Fighting. That's what they've always done every year. They poach people. You still have great lightweights like Justin Gaethje, Errol Brooks, and Bellator. Liam McGarry at 205. Every UFC weight class, the same guys in every weight class, and they're the same guys fighting each other over and over. They're not really bringing in a lot of new guys or really hyping up a lot of new guys. And they're really not concentrating that much on the pay-per-views next year, which looks like they're going into a new model that's going to be one big main event on each pay-per-view. And they're going to rely on Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey to put up their pay-per-view numbers and get them bigger. And maybe Jon Jones when he comes back. And they're going to have the more stat cards on Fox and Fox Sports. All this to say, what the fuck is Anderson doing on Fight Pass? And do you think this is a sign that the UFC is selling to Fox officially and getting rid of the pay-per-view model?
Ryan, it very well could be. And then another, you know, I haven't seen as much of this as you, but there are some weird writings on the wall. And then you see that Joe Rogan has came out and said, you know, his contract expires in August, and he might walk away from it and not come back. So
I'm
going to
miss old Rogan if he does.
You know, that I'm going to miss old Joe, too. You know, he is a huge part in mixed martial arts, you know, the love-hate relationship. But at the end of the day, you know, there's been times we've both dissed Joe Rogan, but at the end of the day, I love him, and I definitely want him in there calling the fights.
You
want
to see something funny? Watch Joe Rogan and Eddie Bravo talk about Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor. It's like 9 minutes of how they would hype up the fight. They're both stoned. This thing about Joe, he's one of the coolest guys, at least outside his, you know, his radio show. Just very cool guy. You know, he loves the sport, so. Him walking away, I don't know if the UFC could really fill that void. Definitely with whoever they have on their roster now, I don't want to see Kenny Florian as the play-by-play guy.
I don't want to either, Ryan, but, you know, that also, you know, makes me think, you know, does Joe know something about maybe they are planning to sell them to Fox?
And they wouldn't keep Joe.
Yeah, which... does that lead into it, even though I think they should? And then Fox, I don't know, have Daniel Cormier in there after, I hate to say it, but I don't think DC retains his belt when he fights Jon Jones.
Hey, if
DC
went up to heavyweight right now, I think he would run through that bracket right now. Just the guys behind Cain. Yeah, me too. I mean,
yeah.
It's great. But yeah, go ahead, sorry.
So, you know, I was going to say, but, you know, there are weird writings on the walls. And you do have to think, you know, the fact that they haven't tried to sign anyone or find some new stars.
Or steal people like
it,
they used to.
Yeah, is it finally,
that's how they
you
built
know,
their
running?
Own promotion.
Right? Is it finally running? They don't have anyone else to buy out.
The beef
and
with
it's
Conor McGregor.
Crazy. It's crazy, Ryan, because, you know, we have been asking for the UFC to get some new blood in there, I feel like, for a while. And, you know,
why aren't
really,
they going after
they
King
do?
Mo when they had him on a broadcast and they hyped up his wrestling when he was on Robbie Lawler's corner? Why aren't they going after Liam McGeary, who's one of the best prospects at 205, or any of the great lightweight prospects that are out there, or even a guy like Marlon Moraes, or even Tyrone Spong, who's now not with Glory anymore? Why aren't they going after Stocky is back in Glory, though, I gotta say.
Daniel Strauss for 145.
Yeah, I mean, not only Strauss, but they're letting Sterling walk away, the guy who's an absolute monster, I believe, at 135. It looks like they're going to let Benson Henderson walk away. And not only that, but those two guys have the same agent as Overeem, who's a free agent. Are they going to let Overeem walk away, too? It looks like the UFC just doesn't want to spend money. I mean, look, they let Phil Davis walk away. And all these guys are unhappy over the Reebok deal that this UFC made. And I don't think they can get their way out of that Reebok deal. Basically, they made a horrible deal. And now all the fighters are unhappy. I think they're going to try to sell to Fox or maybe somebody else. And by getting people to buy the fight pass with the Anderson Silva fight, they're giving a free month away right now. Maybe they're going to keep putting big fights on there. That's going to show the next buyer, look, you have a subscription business that already has this many people paying a year. In my opinion, the UFC could become like the NFL Network, base pass, and then huge fights on Fox and Fox Sports. Do you think that model will work and pay-per-view is basically done with in the UFC?
You know, Ryan, I do have to say, will the model work? I believe it will work, just the fact that, you know, it is the UFC, it is mixed martial arts, and there's fans that, you know, are going to buy it. Your stuff is getting streamed anyways, you know. I do feel like, and Ryan, if it did go, most of the events were on Fox or Fight Pass, you got to think we would get less events, something we asked for, and
that's
we'd
fine.
Get more stacked cards, maybe have one or two events a month. That's what I think the UFC needs to do. So maybe a total of 24 to 30 events a month. And, you know, maybe some months you might have a little, you know, surprise little card. And you make the people want it, you know, because there are two events. And then, of course, you know, Ryan, but the big thing with fight passes, ordering and stuff, I feel like for that to become excess, they need to do what we've said they need to do from day one, and that's have all the UFC events ever on there, UFC 1, or have all the Pride events and whatnot. Because if they had all that, yes, I would probably want to get fight pass.
They have a lot of it. They don't have the recent ones. That's the problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all in all, I do think the model could work, but I do think it needs to happen. The UFC has gotten a little stale. We know Dana White, Ryan, you know, he's a very personal guy, you know, so sometimes I think that gets in the way of his business decisions. Yeah, and I think that's kind of gets in his business decisions. Question one, do you think this is something the UFC needs to regain steam, you know, have a new set of eyes go in there? And number two, if Dana White leaves, we all know Dana White thinks he's more famous than he is, just because he was the president of the UFC. If Dana White loses this as a guy with a big ego, what do you think happens with Dana White and where he goes next? Or can this guy, you know, retire into the sunset and keep his mouth shut?
Dana White, if they sell the UFC, he's never going to get back into MMA. He might become like a manager, and you might see Dana White basically sell the UFC and then screw the UFC over by managing some of the top guys. That's how he got into the sport. But I could see him trying to get into boxing, which he's always talked about. It's his first love, blah, blah, blah. I don't see him just going away. I see him always being involved somehow in the sport. I mean, the guy's done so much for the sport. We got to give him his credit. I think he'll be involved with the UFC somehow, but maybe not be that face anymore. Maybe they'll keep him on, who knows, but I don't see him disappearing in the sunset, but I'll never see him outside in another promotion. I don't think that will ever happen. What was your first question? I'm sorry.
Is this what the UFC needs? Do they need another set of eyes, some more brains in there?
Yeah, I really think they do. I think Dana White and Fertitta's are too stubborn, and they don't ever want to go back on their ideas, and, you know, they have too many cards, and they thought they were going to expand too fast. And look at Bellator's model. It's worked. Bellator's going into Italy next year. They're going into London. And Spike has just done a tremendous job. I think Dana White rushed pushing the sport into the mainstream, and they really screwed up, definitely with the Reebok deal. And I think he's just tired of hearing fighters bitch, but I definitely think they need can really, with some business savvy, to get him out. They did have one of their biggest years this year, but the Reebok thing might kill him. Now, Andrew, with the limited time we have left, we'll talk more Anderson Silva next time around. I got to say, 2016 wish list for the UFC or MMA. I have a couple of them. What are a couple of things you are wishing for? I'll let you start.
Number one, Ryan, first and foremost, I'm wishing for some new exciting youngsters to emerge in the sport.
I'll go next. I'm going to say I am wishing for, I'm wishing for an epic Fedor comeback. I not only want Fedor to win this fight, but I want to see Bellator keep rolling, bring Fedor in to fight Randy Couture, some old school stuff, and maybe another fight. I want to see Fedor officially back on the scene. I would love to see how he could do against those old guys right now that are in that UFC heavyweight division where Andrei Arlovski is about to get a title shot.
I love it. Next thing I would like to see, Ryan, I'm going to be blunt with it. I want to see Ronda Rousey wear a belt back, give Holly Holm a beatdown. Ronda being the champ is way better for them, the sport. It's better for the sport. There's more excitement about it and whatnot. She's one of the best fighters. I think she was burnt out at the end of her run, and I'd love to give the belt back.
I just watched that fight today. I never knew how much of a beatdown it was. And really, it just looked like Ronda was running at her crazy. Ronda did not look prepared. If Holly Holm's going to come in that good, it's going to be very hard for Ronda to get that belt back. One of my wishes is, I know she's done it before, but I want to see Ronda, Holly Holm, Ultimate Fighter. I just think that, you know, the Ultimate Fighter has become stale. I also want to see them completely change the Ultimate Fighter. But if they do have coaches, I want to see Ronda and Holly Holm really hype up that fight. Andrew, what do you got next?
Last, real quick, I want to see another world tour, as we saw with McGregor and Aldo. And I want to see more Conor McGregor. I need more McGregor in my life. But let me get some more promotion tours and fighter personalities.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It shows so much. I want to see more UFC embedded, maybe put them, you know, more countdown shows on Fox, more promotion in general. I also want to see Conor myself, but I want to see Conor and Nate Diaz talking shit. That would just be too interesting to see the shit talking that goes into that event. And not only that, I want to see UFC 200 with Jon Jones, Cormier on the undercard, not the undercard, but as the co-main event, with either McGregor versus Diaz or McGregor versus, you know, fill in the name, or Rousey versus fill in the name. And really, I would wish Anderson Silva Bisping could be on that UFC 200 card. They're doing a disservice to Anderson Silva by not putting him on there. I really wish, and I also wish that Robbie Lawler will keep fighting like he has been, just epic wars against McDonald and Lawler. His fights have just been great. I hope he keeps doing that at 170. I hope the guy never gets boring.
And last thing, I would like to see Paige VanZant's boobs.
Oh, me too. Paige VanZant, I love you. I'm officially going to try to marry you one day. And I hope the guys at Alpha Male will officially gangbang her so they can all get rid of their blue balls, because Chad Mendez and Uriah Faber are walking around like they haven't jacked off in 2 years.
And Uriah needs to fight TJ Dillashaw. 1 minute left, Ryan.
Yes, sir. I want to see Uriah, TJ Dillashaw. I think that would be an epic rivalry. I want to see Nick Diaz back in the cage. and I cannot wait for that UFC 195. I also want to see Overeem versus Werdum for that heavyweight championship.